Keith Henderson, Latin Metals 2025 Rules Symposium. How's it going?
It's going great, thanks. Got here yesterday. Beautiful resort and a really interesting conference. This is a little bit different from the other conferences.
It is.
There's a level of engagement here that's just off the scale. It's really interesting.
You usually don't get, yeah. No, I've been to many conferences. But let's talk about the feeling right now and the vibe, because we've come through some tough times, really, in the junior resource space. What is the vibe today, and what's the vibe here? How different is it?
The vibe today, we measure our vibe in specific ways. We look for what's the interest coming from companies that might partner with us. Are we phoning them, or are they phoning us? And over the last 6 months, it's most definitely been people coming to us. And one other thing that we like to look at is just how are we trading? And you know, when the markets are poor, things go a little bit quiet, a little bit illiquid, but when the interest is there, the interest is there, and suddenly you're trading 200, 300, 400,000 shares a day, sometimes a million, and you're going, okay, well,
Where'd that come from?
Feels a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what's interesting about you in Latin Metals is you have a different model than most of these companies. That's a big differentiator. Talk about that, your model, and why people should pay attention to that. And it really allows you to run a lean ship, not because, it's just really because of the model. You don't need a lot of overhead and a lot of staff. So let's talk about what you guys are and the differentiator there.
You know, I came from Ireland to Vancouver around 2005. And that was really my first experience with the junior market. I'd been working with bigger companies before. And I started to look at what everybody's doing. I'm going, okay, well, this is smart. You go out and raise a bunch of money. You issue a bunch of shares, you go and spend the money, and maybe eventually, if you get very lucky in this high-risk business, the company you're running will find something. Well, that's all very entertaining, but eventually you look at that and go, well, for the shareholders, that really sucks. Like, all you can look at, you get in right at the beginning, you're going to get punished for the rest of your investment because they're going to be issuing more and more and more shares, and what you've got within that company is going to be worth less and less and less, unless they get lucky in the first hole, but like, that really doesn't happen. So I looked to see what a few of the other companies were working with the prospect generator model, and I really liked it. It's asset level dilution rather than shareholder dilution. So we focus on spending as little money as possible, issuing as few shares as possible, and letting all of those high risk dollars, and especially all the drilling dollars, get spent by our partners. So when you invest in us at an early stage, let's say today is early stage, 120 million shares issued. What can you look at for the future? Well, we've just done a $1.3 million financing. We spend about $2 million a year running the entire company, like everything, the exploration, everything that we do. But we've money coming in from partners. Like, people come and they make a deal with us. They're paying us money. An example, AngloGold Ashanti are in an option agreement with us. Next year, if they're still in that agreement, they're going to give us $850,000. The following year, if they're still there, they're going to give us $1 million. That makes a hell of a difference to us because we're only spending two. So having raised $1.3 million this year with warrants and options in the money, with a lot of things like that going on, we can actually seriously look at becoming a company that never has to raise money again. How interesting would that be?
Well, that's, you know, that is music to my ears. And I know, and I've been doing this for over 30 years now. And the biggest frustration from a retail investor in every company, and I say that with with air quotes, has to dilute to grow, right? They have to raise money to put the drill in, to whether that's drilling, to get in a feasibility study, to put it in the mine, to put it in infrastructure, whatever. So it's a very capital intense industry and all that. But I was always discouraged, annoyed, or suspicious, all of the above, when my shares would get diluted because, okay, you're taking my money, my equity, if you would, to raise more equity, and where is this really going? And that doesn't really happen with you guys, or it does maybe at first, but it really doesn't happen now when everything is actually, when the revenue's coming in, if you would.
Yeah, it does take a bit of time to build the prospect generator.
Right.
You've got to go find the right projects. Right. You've got to get the work done on the ground. You've got to generate drill targets. And our skill set, like what we really bring to this, is finding the right kinds of projects.
Yeah.
I can tell you, AngloGold Ashanti, as the fourth largest gold producer in the world, as a very serious technical company, do not walk up to every junior company in the world and say, let's go take a look at your project. They've got to see specific things. They've got to see potential for 5 million ounces plus. That's unbelievable.
Right.
That's like 10 discoveries in a 15-year period, but that's the kind of potential they see. Yeah. They come to you and they make the deal, and that's really important for investors.
Yeah. I actually use that metric all the time when I'm evaluating a junior company, is how much do you have in the ground that we know of, and what's the potential? And I want to see at least minimum 5 million ounces. Talk to me about your projects, what you got going on. You said right before we started, well, I don't want to give the number, I'll let you tell me, but you have several projects going on. And it's just fascinating to me that you've done it, or this model does it with such little cost. But tell me about the projects.
Yeah. We've got 18 projects in total.
That's crazy. And crazy good.
Crazy good. Yeah. We're focused on copper and precious metals.
Yeah.
That's a decision we took about 5 years ago. We've stuck to it 100%. Shareholders looking at a company with 18 projects might say to themselves, how do we assess that? Shareholders aren't necessarily geologists. They don't necessarily have technical information. They don't necessarily have the data even to make a decision as to whether a project looks interesting or not. And that's another level where the prospect generator model really helps. Like if AngloGold, if Mosheko Resources, other partners have looked at our projects, an investor can look at that and say, well, yeah, they've been on the ground. They've been in a data room. They've looked at this in great detail. They see potential. They've just done all your work for you.
Right.
It's not really as simple as saying if AngloGold likes it, it's great. But it is a really, really solid level of due diligence. In terms of partners, in terms of projects, we probably need to talk about three projects today, just to kind of dumb it down to the most important things. Our flagship really is the project that AngloGold have taken off us, which is called Orgeneyo. It's in northwest Argentina. They're looking for 5 million ounces plus. They've been working on a drill permit very patiently and very diligently for 3 years, because these things take time these days.
Right.
The permit got delivered a few months ago.
Permit to drill. Got it.
So they've got their big target. They're ready to go. And finally, after all of this work, they're ready to drill. So we get to kind of September, October this year. We've got a pretty significant drill program coming from AngloGold Ashanti. And by the end of the year or early part of next year, we'll have results and we'll know, have they got what they were going to look for? And that's pretty exciting.
That should be a big catalyst, assuming everything works out.
Exactly. So we certainly saw some movement in the stock when the drill permit came. Like, people are waiting for these things.
Yeah.
And so you announce that you're actually drilling, you can expect that there'll be a little bit of excitement around that as well. We got a second project called Esperanza, which is under option to a company called Mosheko.
Yeah.
People often haven't heard of Mosheko because they're not a public company. They're private, but they're a producing copper company. Their main assets are in Zambia, the Zambian Copper Belt in Africa.
Yeah.
But they've been expanding into Argentina. This project's interesting because it's not so early stage like the AngloGold one. It's actually had some decent drilling in it, and we made a discovery there in 2018. And we drilled a hole that was 387 meters from surface, 0.57% copper, 0.27 grams gold. Taking into account only the copper and ignoring the very significant gold credit, that was the third best copper intersection in quarter one 2018 in the world. So it's a really significant hole. It's from surface, so you hit gold like in the first meter.
Wow.
And so it's a decent discovery.
Yeah.
And markets are fickle. At that time, copper was in the toilet. The markets weren't great. We put out the best news release of my life. Stock went down. You know, what are you going to do? So we just switched up our model. That's when we decided to become a prospect generator. Let's have other people expending the money and taking the risk, and let's just sit back a little bit and see if we can generate that kind of value by getting multiples of these things going.
Yeah.
So that project hopefully gets drilled this year as well. And that's because you know it's a discovery already, you'd be a little bit more confident on the drilling. Like, it's not likely to come up blank. It's likely that something will come up, and hopefully something else really good, like what we got already. And then we've got a third one, which is equally interesting. It's in Santa Cruz province, which is a very, very pro-mining
in Argentina.
In Argentina, yeah. That one we had optioned out previously to Barrick, and Barrick terminated the option. So you might look at that and say, well, if Barrick left, mustn't be any good. Well, it's really not the case. So let me tell you what happened. Barrick had exploration projects all over South America. they took a corporate decision that how are we going to focus on the right projects? And they said, let's pick our 10 best projects in the continent, focus on those and drop the rest. And we didn't make it. We were never going to make it.
Sure.
They'd done the exploration. They had drill targets established, but they hadn't yet permitted and they hadn't yet drilled. So we were never going to stack up against the other projects, but it's still hugely, hugely interesting project. So we picked up where they left off. We proceeded based on the work that they'd done and the targets that they generated. We proceeded to go and get the drill permits, which we got a couple of months ago. We had one other little task because we're optioning that from an underlying vendor. And that was just starting to get a little bit expensive as you get to the end of the agreement. So we made a new agreement with them where we're buying 100% of the project, $400,000. And we've just paid $100,000, so $300,000 to go. So that's great. We know that's going to be a 100% deal. So now we're ready with the drill permit and with that new deal for 100% acquisition. Now we can go out and get a partner, and we expect to do that in the next couple of months. And we expect that one to drill this year as well, same as Anglo, because it's drill permitted, the targets are there.
That'd be another catalyst, great catalyst.
Three projects that are going to drill, two for 100% sure, one maybe a little bit later, but the catalysts are coming thick and fast. And drilling is where all the action is, like that's what people care about. If we start to get good results, it's going to be life-changing for us. It's a really exciting year. After so much work to build this up, years and years of finding the projects and putting it all together, it's really a great time for us.
Well, tell me about that. What's your current market cap? And you said you were about 120 shares fully diluted?
No, that's issued. With warrants and options, it's about 150.
150, so still relatively tight.
Not bad. Had the markets been a little better, we probably wouldn't have got that far, but the market is what the market is. But if we never have to go back to finance, which is a serious possibility now, then the only dilution is those warrants. So 150 approximately is your number. Warrants are priced around 15 to 18, maybe 20 for some. We're trading 20, 22 these days.
So they're just in the money.
Yeah. But with the catalyst coming, with drilling starting, with other things coming, we would hope that those will go well into the money. We would hope that money will come in. Certainly, I can say that my options will come in. That money, that check will be written. Yeah. And that should leave us with a decent cash position at the end of the year. The kind of cash position that lets us look years ahead with our tiny expenditures.
Yeah.
And more money coming in from partners. It's just, we just don't have to go back.
Excellent. What should investors, you gave us really two catalysts there coming up through the end of the year. Anything else that will move the stock from now until the end of the year? Or what should investors be aware of going to the end of the year?
Three drill programs, projects going out to partners. There's one or two of those that we would expect to happen before the end of the year. As projects go out to partners, we always having to be bringing new projects in. So there'll be a couple of acquisitions. There'll be results on projects that we've been looking at from an early stage where we're getting to the point where we're developing drill targets, and those also get ready to go out to partners next year. We should mention Peru. Everything we've talked about in the last few minutes has been Argentina focused. Right. That's largely because when I put the company together during and through the process of that RTO, we acquired those projects at the same time and we were a little bit of a step ahead. When we decided to diversify ourselves into Peru, we had to go and start from the very beginning. So we've a whole series of projects in Peru, one of which is now drill permitted, a couple more coming behind that are going to be drill permitted. Three, maybe four of those are looking seriously at having partnerships coming in this year. So it's basically everything that we've done in Argentina over the last 3-4 years. Is getting to the point of happening in Peru as well. So there's kind of a second shot of things happening in a separate country. Excellent. I like that.
So Keith, if people want more information about you, how do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on and what are your ticker symbols?
TSX, LMS, OTCQB, LMSQF. We have a website, www.latin-metals.com. And when you go on that site, you can search out our info address, but the best thing you could possibly do is find, there's a little tab where you can book a meeting with management if you're interested. You click on there, you can go into Calendly and set up an appointment with our investor relations VP, Alicia Patterson. And from there, after a quick conversation, if there's still interest, then we set up a call with me and we get into the details and let people ask as many questions as they like about the company and really know what they're investing in.
Excellent. Keith, I want to thank you so much, and really the best of luck to you. And it's really a business model that everybody should be aware of. It really is a differentiator.
Super. Thanks very much indeed. Pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.